This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, and as always, we are, well, not as always, but we are here from the Porcupine Freedom Festival in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Absolutely gorgeous day. The weather is absolutely fantastic. It's not too hot, not too cold. Yesterday, I just had the sun glaring down on my shoulders all day, and I was a little bit worried I was going to get sunburned. Ultimately, not an issue, because I'm already dark enough, but absolutely not an issue today. The sky is overcast and it's just perfect, perfect weather for today. It's like, this is like Kashmir Valley levels of perfect.
Temperature is great today.
And of course, yesterday was Juneteenth. They did a show live from the studio, because we have to get a day ahead of things for various reasons. But they did a show last night at the studio, so I don't know what they talked about because I didn't listen to it. But I do know what we talked about. It was a lot of fun, and I look forward to listening to that episode at some point. But previously today, we were talking about Juneteenth and slavery, and how the 13th Amendment or the Emancipation Proclamation didn't really do anything to eliminate slavery.
Right.
It did ostensibly. It moved the problem, where previously it changed the owner of the slave from the white plantation owner, or just the plantation owner in general, to the government, to the state. Because now you commit any sort of crime, and they can punish you with hard labor, and suddenly you are literally a slave.
Yeah, people think that that's a metaphor that libertarians use about the government. Well, that's a metaphor. No, it's not. It's precisely what your relationship with the government is. It's involuntary.
It is the relationship we have. I don't like the tax slavery thing. And I get where they're coming from, right? If you are a slave because 100% of your labor is going to someone who owns you, then at what percentage are you
no longer a
slave?
Right.
So I understand where they're coming from when they say tax slave, but I don't think the polemic does us any good. I don't think it's a useful way of convincing people to the ideas of liberty. I think it's just, what's the word I'm looking for? It's just bloviating. That's not really the word I'm looking for, because I don't want to be that critical of it, but it's just sort of bloviating a position and expecting everyone else to agree with you, similar to saying taxation is theft, right? Like, I agree with it, I know where you're coming from, and you're right, but it's not going to persuade people, it's not going to convince people. But Juneteenth, or the Emancipation Proclamation, it absolutely did not end slavery, and most people acknowledge this and they accept this. For one, the Emancipation Proclamation didn't have any effect in the Confederate states at the time that it was announced. So until the Confederate states won the war, that law didn't even apply there, or that proclamation didn't even apply there in the first place. Because it's like, it would be like Xi Jinping in China declaring that the United States will no longer use the U.S. dollar. It's unenforceable. It's meaningless until the Chinese government presumably, you know, were to take over the United States, or insert whatever scenario in which such a crazy thing would happen.
Yeah.
But because of that, the United States, they didn't want too much freedom for the black Americans. So they passed a bunch of laws. And first of all, they didn't allow them to vote. They didn't allow them to count as full people. They did all sorts of evil, horrific things. But among the other things they did was pass a lot of ridiculous laws, most notably the marijuana laws. And I'm not saying that because more black people smoke pot. I mean, it's marijuana. That was largely targeting the Hispanics. But it also has been used and still is used disproportionately against black Americans.
Sure.
Almost everyone I know has smoked pot at some point in their lives. But I'm from the South, from the state of Mississippi, which has the highest proportion of black Americans in the U.S., like 38% or so. So they're still a minority, but like 38 out of every 100 Americans there are black. And almost everyone I knew who had been in jail for any sort of possession or pot possession was black. And I knew almost no white people who had been. And the reason for this, as we mentioned, is because the police officers exercise the discretion about who they're going to pull over.
Yeah.
They see the white man, they see the black man, they choose which one they want to pull over, they get the canine, and then it's not that the white man didn't have pot, it's that they didn't pull him over, and therefore they didn't search him with the canine vehicle, and therefore they didn't end up searching his vehicle. And they did this just, and the pot propaganda that they pushed out back then, if you've never looked into it, it's wild.
Oh, reefer madness.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It is wild. Like some of the things they said about it.
It was going to make your white women lust after the, it was crazy. Just totally crazy.
Yeah.
Definitely worth looking into. And you got to remember in this context, we hear that and we laugh and go, oh my God, these people are nuts. What were they thinking? This happened.
Yes.
This was actual propaganda used by the U.S. government to convince people that pot should be illegal.
Yeah. Just, I mean, and like that type of behavior continues by the U.S. government. We look at the Twitter files, right? Matt Taibbi was, you know, he got to look into all that and write about it. And as a result of his simply reporting, right, him being given access, he is now being sort of persecuted by the press to such an extent. Yeah, to such an extent that he actually has said something along the lines of free speech is dying and journalists are the ones killing it.
That was, I was going to make a similar remark, not quite as eloquently. I was going to point out that it's crazy that someone who released information to the public, critical, important information released to the public, is being crucified by the media, whose job it is to release that information to the public. But they're too busy being in bed with the U.S. government to actually do their jobs. And that's been going on for a very long time.
And that's the point that Taibbi made in the article that I read about him, where he made that quote, was that the journalists fancy themselves as also being in power and part of the power structure now. And they enjoy that. Right,
well,
and that is
most
a dangerous,
do, right?
dangerous place for journalists to be.
I felt weird yesterday when I was talking with Carla and someone from the Boston Globe. When Carla said, "Yeah, you're with the press," to this person at the Boston Globe, and I'm like, "But I mean, so am I. Technically, I mean, I do a nationally syndicated radio show, but we're different, right? We're not with the press. I don't know why we don't count as the press." And I don't want to count as the press. It's just curious that if you had some other radio show here doing it, like Rush Limbaugh or whatever, people would know this is the mainstream media.
Right.
Even as conservative as he is. Tucker Carlson, another example, not as dependent today, but he wouldn't be considered independent and free. He might now that he's left Fox News, actually.
Maybe.
But I learned of something today in regard to Juneteenth and the abolition of slavery. And don't get me wrong, obviously, abolishing slavery, great thing.
Yep.
Really glad that happened.
Yep.
It was going to happen anyway.
Let's just continue and abolish the rest of it.
Absolutely. And it's only in the United States that slavery is partially illegal. Slavery exists throughout the world. The lithium mining that you have for your cell phone batteries and for your electric cars, disgusting amounts of child slavery and other forms of slavery going into that. Like, people are being maimed and killed. Children are being maimed and killed in order to mine this lithium. It's absolutely horrific. And that's just this one scenario. You start factoring things like cocaine and other areas in South America. There's slavery everywhere. There's a long way to go in regard to eliminating slavery. But one of the things I did not know about was these forced apprenticeships that came about in the 19th century. The so-called
forced apprenticeships?
Yes, the so-called black codes that existed in 1865 and 1866. Well, that was when they came into existence. Notice, let's repeat that. They came into existence in 1865. The first were enacted in Mississippi following the election of a new state legislature in 1865. Now, this was after the defeat in the Civil War, where they were required, I think, I may be wrong here, it's not really important, but they had to vote in an entirely new legislature because the previous one, you know, these are treasonous people and they have to be replaced. So in 1865, Mississippi, where I'm from, sadly, passed these first black codes. The codes passed by the state legislature recognized certain rights for former slaves, which is good. However, accompanying restrictions led to severe limitations on the rights of freedom while also ensuring that former slaves would continue to be exploited for cheap labor in the state. The primary issues addressed in the codes were civil rights, apprenticeships, vagrancy, and criminal law. And I'm going to jump ahead a bit and go ahead and spill the beans on this. The apprenticeship thing was if you were a minor and believed to be a runaway or they weren't with your adult, they would force you to agree to being someone's apprentice, and you couldn't do anything about it. And just like that, you were effective. You were a slave again, only now they called it an apprentice instead of an actual slave. And I didn't even know this. I knew all sorts of messed up things that happened in the South right after the Civil War and before and after the Civil War. But I never knew that this in particular had happened. And I'm from Mississippi. Yeah. Why isn't that? I had to take Mississippi history in high school in order to graduate. I ended up not graduating because I had better things to do and dropped out. But I had to take an actual class called Mississippi History.
Yeah.
Strangely enough, it didn't talk about this horrific black slave.
Didn't mention any of this, did it?
No. Concerning civil rights, the Mississippi Black Codes, and it's heartbreaking that Mississippi was the first one to do this, but not terribly surprising. They allowed freedmen to access the legal system, marry, own property, and contract employment, which is good, right? Positive steps, especially for Mississippi in that time. Now black people can get jobs, they can own property, they can get married, all good things.
Okay.
However, in the courts, blacks were limited from serving as witnesses in civil cases solely between white litigants. So if you had two white people suing each other, a black person could not act as a witness in that court. I don't know how often that came up, but it was demonstrably racist and it existed. Further, marriage between different races was punishable for both whites and non-whites by life imprisonment. Jeez. I didn't know that. I knew that it was frowned upon, but to pass an actual law forbidding interracial marriage, I didn't know that had happened.
And life in prison?
Yeah, the penalty definitely disproportionate. Well, if you're taking it from the context of being married is imprisonment for life, then I could get that. But obviously that's not what they mean. They mean they're putting people literally in prison. And the state prison in Mississippi is called Parchman. And it's a absolutely miserable place. Mississippi is exactly what you would expect it to be. Extremely high humidity, extremely high temperatures, and this is a swamp.
Yeah.
And that's where they put their prison. I think it's sort of it's just the delta and the swamp surrounding it. I've never actually been, obviously.
Something that I'm sort of picking up on here is the theme is that governments perpetuate racism.
Yeah, well, they benefit from it. I don't know. So by definition, they would perpetuate it. But I don't want to put the blame entirely on governments. The government benefits from people being divided against one another.
That's true. Yeah.
That's why the media is pushing this anti-trans, anti-drag nonsense to the extent that they are. Because the more you and I are fighting with each other, the less we're fighting with the actual problem,
right,
which is the states. And this is a tactic going all the way back to, like, Mussolini.
Divide and conquer.
Yeah. This goes way back, and they know it, and racism is another one of these tactics that they use to keep us pitted against one another while they loot and rob and destroy and rape and pillage and plunder. So these limitations obviously made it extremely difficult to seek out better paying jobs or to change employment. And by doing this, it basically eliminated any true social mobility or autonomy. You couldn't climb the corporate ladder, so to speak, in Mississippi. For one, there wasn't a corporate ladder then, but it did all sorts of things. The limits were placed on their ability to own property outside of cities, so they couldn't own rural property, and to move from the cities and engage in their own farming or land ownership. Similar to serfdom in medieval Europe, where you weren't allowed to go from one lord's farm to the next without that lord's permission. They had almost similar laws set up in Mississippi according to these black codes that, again, came out right after the Emancipation Proclamation, came out as a result of the Emancipation Proclamation.
If you needed a better illustration of, you know, how backwards it is to have rulers and to have governments telling you how to live your life, this is a very good illustration.
Further, under new apprenticeship laws, this is some of the more disgusting parts. Well, I don't know. It's been disgusting this whole time. I don't know how much worse it could get. County law enforcement and civil officials were required to report all free minors of black or mixed race who were orphans or whose parents were unable to provide financial care for them to the courts. And this may sound like a good thing. Hey, this kid's homeless, or this family can't feed this kid. We need to report this to the courts. That may sound noble and like a good thing. But first of all, it's never good to talk to the cops.
No.
Talking to the cops never makes anything better. Even if you think, oh, well, they're just going to go help this kid. Maybe they might actually do that. They might also show up and put a bullet in him. right? There have been plenty of cases where cops responded. There was a 9-year-old autistic kid who was having a meltdown, and his mother didn't know how to respond to it at this point. I mean, he was out of control, and she had to do something. So she called the police, and the police showed up, and they put bullets in this kid. They killed this kid, this 9-year-old autistic kid. I want to say it was either 9-year-old or he was shot 9 times.
Yeah.
The number 9 is significant in that story, but it was a young kid, either way, that was killed for being autistic because someone called the police.
Well, we've done a number of stories here on Free Talk Live, 2 of them recently, actually, where someone has phoned the police to resolve some situation. One of them was a guy who thought he lives near the border. He thought some illegal immigrants were in his property, so he calls the cops.
Why the hell would anyone call the
cops? The cops show up, and they kill the guy. Not the immigrants, but the guy who called them.
I'm not in favor of that.
And
obviously.
Then, in a completely different state, something similar happened. A guy calls the cops because, you know, he thought something was going on his property. The cops show up and they shoot the guy who called the cops.
Yeah, we covered one of those stories. Someone answered the door with a gun, and not even like pointed at the cops. They just had a gun because the cops were at the wrong address.
Mm-hmm.
The address that they were at was not the address on their warrant, and they were knocking and they were demanding entry. So this guy opened the door, not knowing it was the cops there. They also did not announce themselves as police, if I remember right, and they shot him and killed him. They went to his house, bothered him, knocked on his door, harassed him, and then murdered him.
Yep.
And they may have gotten a paid vacation, maybe even an unpaid vacation.
I'm sure they investigated themselves and found they did no wrong.
I'm sure they did. I don't even know how to begin addressing the police problem in the United States. When I ran for sheriff, of course, I ran on the platform of F the Police, and I firmly stand by that slogan. And at one point, my car was vandalized.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, and my signs were stolen throughout Cheshire County, but like the one thing I did not do was call the police. Even though I made it clear to them, I'm an advocate of turning the other cheek.
Yeah.
So you stole my signs, fine, I'm going to turn the other cheek and just put more signs out there. But I've only got 2 cheeks. You slap both of them and there are going to be repercussions. That was the statement that I put out there. So if any more of my signs went stolen, then the guy who's I had on video was going to get persecuted.
Right,
so he needed prosecuted. So he needed to be out there convincing people not to steal my signs. But the one thing I didn't do during all of that, the cops came to me. They emailed me, incidentally, at aria@fpolice.com. That address no longer works, by the way. But they emailed me as like, hey, look, so someone reported this truck that was stealing your signs. This isn't part of your campaign, is it? I said, no, it's not. Then they followed up, well, do you want us to press charges? And I was like, no, just close the case and leave the person alone and leave me alone. Don't bother me again. Thank you. Have a good day. Because the police kill people. They've killed old ladies, pulling them over for having taillights out. Then, of course, there was the guy who walked through the hallway, had to play Simon Says with the officers because some busybody thought they saw a gun in his hotel room. And I don't even remember if he had a gun at this point. But he had to walk through the hallway while they were giving him various commands, like cross your legs, put your hands on your head, put your hands on your hips, put your hands on your ankles, giving him literally mixed commands and then killing him when he was crying and begging for them to stop and trying to obey their contradictory commands.
Yeah, people need to, a lot of people, at least in the libertarian community, are pretty good at this, but, I think more of regular people need to figure out how to mind your business.
Yes, if no one's being hurt, just look the other way.
Yeah. I mean,
I would add, if it's a corporation being hurt, just look the other way. If someone's stealing some laundry detergent from Walmart, just look the other way. I understand some libertarians will disagree on that.
Yeah. Part of the reason that I just even do this show is because I know that in order for myself to be free, everyone else must also be free. So for me to achieve the maximum amount of freedom possible, I need to be a champion for other people also being free.
Yes. So where we left off on this story with the black codes was that all civil officials, law enforcement, everyone who worked in any capacity for the government had to report to the courts anyone who they thought of black or mixed race, not anyone of white race, right? If they were white and they were starving, you didn't have to report them. But if they were black or mixed, you had to report them to the courts so that the courts could then order the minors to work as apprentices for individuals whom the courts deemed suitable and competent. So the courts would say, all right, well, here's a 10-year-old kid. His family can't feed him. All right. We're going to sentence him for existing and being black and poor in the South to forced labor, working for this person who is literally now called his master because it's a master apprentice relationship. So tell me what the hell changed with the emancipation. They just had to jump through more hoops to perpetuate the slavery that continued to exist and continues to exist to this day. Worse, this provision guaranteed that former slave owners had preference to ensure that the children of their former slaves would continue to labor for the master. So if you could show that this person had been your slave...
Generational servitude.
Yes. And if you could show to the court that this person had been your slave, the court would order that person to become your apprentice.
Yeah.
And this happened, people. This happened in the United States, in the state of Mississippi. And they probably weren't the only one. The article goes on. There's probably quite a bit more. But it happened in Mississippi. Perpetuation of slavery that was not ended with the Emancipation Proclamation. Juneteenth, I'm with you. Celebrate it. It's great. I'm glad slavery ended in that capacity. But it's so far from ended. And we can't end actual slavery. We can't address the problem until we acknowledge that it continues to exist.
Right. And then continue to acknowledge who the slave owner is.
Yes. Because it's no longer an average white person, or it's no longer having anything to do with that.
It's an institution.
Yes,
it's
now it's the state.
Not Thomas Jefferson anymore who owns slaves.
Right. So finally, criminal provisions restricted the types of property that black people could own, as well as the types of property that could be purchased by or sold to black Americans. Again, criminal penalties and jail time would often result in a freedman being hired out. And what this means by hired out is, again, being forced labor, because the 13th Amendment allowed them to be punished for any acts with forced labor. So here we have laws that were placed preventing black people from owning certain types of property.
Mm-hmm.
And if they acquired those types of property, that would be a crime. And they would be sentenced to slavery for owning that property. So tell me again how slavery ended. Or was hardly even impacted by the Emancipation Proclamation. It literally just changed forms, and only slightly at that. In response, eventually, Congress passed the 14th and 15th Amendments, the U.S. Congress, in 1868 and 1870. These amendments guaranteed freedmen equal protection under the law and the right to vote. It took a long time for those things to actually come into effect and to be useful to black Americans in the United States, because just because Congress said in 1870 that you as a black man could vote in Mississippi didn't mean that it was safe for you to go to the voting booth and vote in Mississippi, or that your ballot would even be counted.
It's so weird to me as a non-voter, right? Someone who does not give my scribe to these tyrants. Right, that was the reward. Right? Oh, congratulations, you get to participate in this thing, it's going to have no effect anyway.
Well, the myth is that it has an effect, and they get to choose their rulers, and that the myth sells. There's more coming up here from the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It is Free Talk Live.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell anticipates additional rate hikes as the central bank aims to curb inflation.
Inflation pressures continue to run high, and the process of getting inflation back down to 2% has a long way to go.
This comes after the Fed's recent decision to maintain stable interest rates. The search for the missing Titanic exploration sub is intensifying. 10 U.S. Coast Guard search vessels will arrive at the scene by tomorrow morning. That search area now twice the size of the state of Connecticut. Despite hearing underwater noises, nothing has been found. Hunter Biden will plead guilty next month to two tax misdemeanors and illegal possession of a gun. If certain conditions are met, those gun charges may be dismissed. The pleas are scheduled to be entered on July 26th in a Delaware courthouse, pending the approval of a U.S. district judge. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Welcome back. It is Free Talk Live on this. You're probably listening on Wednesday. It's really hard to say, though. Although, hopefully, the Wednesday episode will actually be played on Wednesday, because Wednesday is She Talk Live, and we're going to be doing that tomorrow here at RV46. And we're going to be bringing Topless She Talk Live to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. This is something we haven't done in probably close to 2 years. Topless Tuesdays, of course, was a thing on Free Talk Live for years. And then, you know, I do Tuesday nights, so I started doing it topless. And I was like, well,
and then we got air conditioning.
What do you mean?
That, well, was, yeah, always, but, that was always Eden's reason for doing Topless Tuesday.
Well, there is air conditioning in there now. But, I mean, it's just... it's more comfortable, right? So we started doing that on Tuesdays, and then I wanted to know how far we could push this, because I used to do a topless show called Aria Uncensored, and we got suspended from Twitch and YouTube and Facebook and all these other things for me doing that show, as we sort of expected to do. But for some reason, they backed off of that, and they're not suspending us on Tuesdays, and we started doing it on Wednesdays instead. Or on Wednesdays, we started doing She Talk Live, and then we started doing that show topless.
Right.
And it was tremendously successful, as you might imagine. Viewership skyrocketed, knowing that, you know, Nikki and Angie and others were sitting there in my studio at that time being topless.
Now that's how you advertise.
It was tremendously successful. And that's happening here at RV46 tomorrow, so come hang out with us for that. There are a few people coming, I know, just to spectate, that, you know, women who support the idea, because I've already seen men running around topless all over the place today. It's just common.
Apparently it's called Top Freedom.
Is it?
Yeah, I ran across it while I was researching anarchism, as one does, and ran across Top Freedom, and I'm like, as in topless, right?
Makes sense.
There ought to be free the nipple. There ought to actually be equality between the sexes as far as what we expect clothing wise.
I agree entirely because I grew up as a male, obviously, and I spent most of my youth being topless, because it's Mississippi, guys. Everyone walking around Mississippi is topless because it's 140 degrees with a 96% humidity. And I just sort of am accustomed to that. Most women are never going to know how comfortable it actually is, how liberating, how relaxing it actually is to just be able to walk around topless.
Yeah.
And part of She Talk Live is aimed at normalizing that and getting people accustomed to it. And it's been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to its return tomorrow here at... It's actually never been here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. There is a nude village, a nude camp somewhere around here. I don't know exactly where I haven't been to it.
The Body Freedom people.
Yes, that's it, the Body Freedom Village.
The same thing where, like, if it becomes normalized, it becomes normalized. Like, when you've grown accustomed to nudity in a non-emergency and non-sexualized context, then it just becomes something that you overlook completely.
Right. I mean, it's conditioning and training that causes us to sexualize nudity in the first place. But the Body Freedom people, they keep their body freedom at the Body Freedom Village.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing that. We're doing it right here, right at Ogora Valley, here on RV 46. So I expect some amount of controversy, but we're only being topless. And there's all sorts of good reasons why we should be allowed to sit here and be topless. And I don't really expect much pushback, but I do expect some. And that's happening more. So come hang out with us for that. But I'm sorry to do all of that and have that, 3.5 minute long preamble there to bring us back into the show, because we do have a guest here. That's one of the things we like to do here on Free Talk Live at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, is we get people on here to talk about their projects. They're doing what they're doing to make the world freer in their lifetime, because that's the goal. We all want freedom in our lifetime. And one of the reasons Mark Edge isn't here is because he's out there gallivanting around the world trying to acquire freedom in his lifetime. And Tony Olson here is with the Freedom Haven Project. So tell me about this. Give me a brief overview exactly. What is the Freedom Haven Project?
The Freedom Haven Project will be bringing the free market to the world's 25 million refugees. We're creating an anarcho-capitalist floating port city outside the jurisdiction of all existing governments.
Okay, so is it a seasteading project, essentially?
It's seasteading, except that most seasteading projects are more about fancy homes on the beach or off the beach, as opposed to actually going out beyond the jurisdiction of government.
Okay, so you're trying to, like, have a seastead effectively, but
yes,
in the middle of the Pacific Ocean,
exactly,
or the Atlantic Ocean.
Yes.
All right, so how is that going? I mean, what's it looking like? It seems like that's a monumental task, right? That's
it is.
Huge project to have a floating city,
yes,
basically.
Yes, we plan to, if we're continuing on the same course we're on right now, we should have it built by 2037. That's a long way out.
It is,
but is a big project.
So how do you intend to keep from running afoul of the many mafias known as nation states?
Oh, yes.
Because they tend to like getting a cut of everything.
Oh, yes, they do. This is where it gets really, really tricky. We will have to, if you're not actually flying a flag of some nation, then you're considered a pirate vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And all the countries agree that they can basically seize your vessel.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't go out there without a flag.
Right.
So we will have to have a flag convenience, but we're going to play the game. And those laws that those flags have means that there's some regulation on the crew, some regulations on the ship, but no regulations on the passengers. So basically, yes, the ship and we maintain the ship will actually have some kind of rules with it, like how we handle oil. We have to have certain controls and certain things. We have to keep up with regulations. But the passengers will have full economic freedom and social freedom.
I think I understand here. It's sort of like how the captain of a plane is a citizen of whatever country that is, but that doesn't mean that you're a citizen of that country when you're on that plane.
Exactly.
And here, you would be an independent citizen or not a citizen of, let's say you denounce your American citizenship,
mm-hmm,
then you're the captain, the people working on this vessel, or however you would characterize them,
yep,
are still subject to whatever laws they're of the countries they're from.
Yep.
But you, as the passenger, would be free.
And actually, there are very few laws. Most laws by default do not apply outside the jurisdiction, outside the exclusive economic zone. Those laws that they pass, all the federal laws here, unless they specifically specify that it goes out on the ocean, it doesn't. It's just here for our land. So
how common is this? Because I know we heard a story, I want to say last year, of some Asian country, it may have been Vietnam or South Korea.
Thailand.
They encountered one of these seasteads. The people happened to be ashore at the time.
Chad and Nadia.
But they raided it. And I don't remember what all of the details were, but... Did they do that on just the justification of, this is a pirate ship? Because that's insane. Mm-hmm. And you can't... It's insane. I'm not surprised nations do this, but it's insane to treat every unflagged vessel as a privateer, as a pirate, as a threat.
There are two things there. One is they didn't have a flag, and the second one is they were actually inside the jurisdiction. They're not outside the jurisdiction. They're about 15, 20 miles offshore, and this is where it gets tricky because they said, we're in international waters, but the international law does not define international waters. So sometimes they say it's 12 nautical miles, sometimes they say it's 200 nautical miles. But because it's not defined, we should not ever use the term international waters, because if you're inside the exclusive economic zone, 200 nautical miles from shore, you're in their jurisdiction. One way or another, they can control everything that happens. They can take your ship. They can regulate you.
I can see that. It's sort of like how it doesn't matter what China claims as its territorial waters or what the United... There's disagreement, and China's the example that comes to mind. And I don't know how
it doesn't matter to the U.S. what China claims as its territorial waters, or to China what the U.S. claims as its territorial waters.
Well,
but
China,
if someone claims 200 miles from their shore, you better believe that they're going to come stealing.
Well, China claims significantly more territorial water than like anyone else is willing to recognize.
The seven line map or whatever.
Yeah, and that's why they come to mind where this is happening, because there is no international. They're saying that's not international water. That's Chinese water.
And that's specifically why Thailand is so sensitive on this subject and why they took their ship. Is because that was Thailand, and Thailand shares another border with the South China Sea where a lot of this contention is happening.
Okay, so I can see that. It seems like that would be a bad area then to do this seasteading. So the Atlantic Ocean might be safer, but I don't know. It's all very risky, and there's nothing that's guaranteed. There's nothing that's safe when you're trying to get away from the jurisdictions of the governments around the world. I love the seasteading possibility. My issue, it's not really an issue, but I couldn't do it. I don't have the pioneering spirit like that. I don't feel like that's for me. Like, Mark Edge is doing a bunch of different projects, and he describes basically a cubbyhole down there in the Honduras somewhere where people can live, and it's only $150 a month. Yeah, and it's like the size of the bathroom here in the motel room at Rogers Campground. And it's got about the same amenities, except half the good running water, and then you don't want to drink that water.
Which is frequently part of the pioneering spirit. That's
it,
right. Pack your entire life into a covered wagon.
And of course,
sounds like fun.
Mark is always promoting these ideas, and a few nights ago we just had a beautiful conversation with him where we got him to say, no, of course not, I wouldn't take my kid and go live in this little closet in the Honduras. That's crazy. I was like, yeah, thank you, Mark. You finally said what we've been saying for years, which is why we promote the Free State Project and moving to New Hampshire, where you can have these amenities like electricity, heat, water, internet, and other little things like that that he doesn't necessarily have down there in Honduras. But we're less free than he is, demonstrably less free, and that's always going to be the case. The seasteading idea, and Mark's little project, and I say little project, I don't mean to talk down about it, but Mark's project in the Honduras, he's got two of them, they both require the agreement of the Honduran government to honor its agreement to allow them to have their ZEDE, their special economic zone that is distinct, and to not violate that agreement. And they're already trying to violate that agreement, obviously. Mark thinks they can win that in court, but...
And to be fair, we do need the United States' agreement to exist here, because they do like to kill things that they don't like. And they pretty much declared us as one of their enemies, even libertarians on the list of detestable figures.
They
at least we know here that we are that we are working toward not having those problems, that we are working towards secession, and that there's a real possible path forward with that. Whereas with Honduras, I mean, there's no telling how long the communists will be in charge of the national government.
Right, and all of that's in theory, right? That's the goal. But some people, like Mark. Mark wants liberty in his lifetime. Mm. And for Mark, it's a For Mark, it's a very personal thing. He doesn't care about my liberty or your liberty. And to be fair, he cares about my liberty because he cares about me and I'm his friend. But in general, he doesn't care about everyone else's freedom. And that's where we diverge from him. That's where Ian and I diverge from him, because I want everyone to be free. Yes, it would be great if I could just pay the American government $5 million and they'll leave me alone for the rest of my life. That would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't do anything to help anyone else. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm motivated by a desire to help others. And that's why I like these sorts of projects being put forward and being propagated by people, because we can make each other free, the people who want freedom, and seasteading and this Honduras project, these special economic zones, seem like good ways of doing that. But Mark's projects require the government to keep its word. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't
trust that as far as I could throw it.
No, I remember what happened to the Native Americans when they trusted the American government to keep its word. And I can't think of any scenario where they don't even obey the freaking Constitution. Why would they obey this other law?
Yep.
Well, and honestly, I do wonder the same thing about your project. So, like, whose flag is your ship going to be flying? Because you are kind of trusting that government to, not suddenly change the deal on you.
I have altered the deal. Pray I do not alter it any further.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, that's kind of the relationship you have with whoever's flag you're flying.
Yeah. That's actually one of the countries. The most common flag being used for flagging convenience out there is the Panama flag. Mm-hmm. But we're actually probably considering the second most convenient one, which is the Liberian flag.
Mm.
Liberia is a terrible country to live in. It has a very low level of freedom. But they're constantly in civil war. And they're constantly fighting by themselves.
Well, that's convenient.
Yeah. And so you never know who's going to charge whatever, and they've actually delegated their flag registry to a company in Virginia that handles all of that. Mm-hmm. And that flag registry does nothing more than just say, okay, you want to be a member? Here's all the information. Okay, you're registered now, and I pay them their fee, and they pay back like a quarter of it back to Liberia, keep the rest, and 10% of it goes to some humanitarian fund there. But basically, long story short, Liberia isn't even involved. They just get free money.
Well, in Liberia, if I remember correctly, has basically been the United States' sort of pet project. So it's one of those, like, people will probably respect your space. Right. People will probably respect your space so that they don't get on the bad side of the U.S., mm-hmm. But there's not that much government to actually oppress you because it keeps ending up in civil war.
Exactly.
So I don't want to drag this too far out into the weeds, but I'm curious, and you seem like you may know the answer to this. What is the process for these other nations recognizing another flag as legitimately belonging to a nation state? Like, there's a flag flying right here,
yep.
And the LGBT flag. And I would imagine that flying that flag wouldn't do me any good as far as affording me protection from the Thailand government.
In the UK, there's the International Maritime Organization that actually...
Oh, good. I should have known. There's a bureaucracy. So.
Oh, right. It's a bureaucracy.
Of course, they have an organization.
They have a list of all the flags that they recognize. Now, there might be other flags that other countries recognize, and there might be flags on that registry that other countries say, well, I don't recognize it. So but you start with that. You want to work with them and help them recognize your country officially, which means going through all the ugly channels of getting the UN to recognize you and working with other countries saying they recognize us. It's going to be a long process, so we'll be the Liberian flag for a while until that happens.
Well, I hope that works out. It sounds like it actually could. I was heartbroken to hear about the I don't want to call it a failure, but what happened to the seasteading project that
you mentioned.
You mentioned their names, and I don't remember what they were, but that was tragic, right? It was just these people trying to live freely, not hurting anyone. There's seasteading projects here every year. We usually get them on some of the hexagonal-shaped ones that sort of connect together. These are fantastic, very dreamy sort of projects. And what I mean by that is it takes big dreams to get into something like this. Like Ernie Hancock down here, who does the show Declare Your Independence, he dreams of a spaceship. that we can use to set ourselves free. And I'm actually 100% with them on that note. I don't think that human beings will achieve a libertarian society until we're colonizing other planets, at which point we'll be so far, we can take our libertarians to some colony, and we'll be so far from the government that they just won't be able to enforce their laws on us. But so I'm totally with them on that, but it sounds crazy when I say it to people, and they laugh, and they go, ha, ha, yeah, spaceships. But, I mean, it's going to happen.
It's definitely going to happen. Yeah. For me, it's just a question of how much it costs. I mean, I think
sure.
Land is the cheapest, oceans are more expensive, the moon would be even more expensive, the Mars would be even more expensive. But like that's why on ships, they live in cabins instead of big, spacious housing. But the cost of living on what we have planned here, we estimate that we can probably get that cost down for people willing to live like they do in the Navy, where you have, like, multiple bunks.
Yeah.
$5,000 a year
per
person. That's cheap.
I mean, yeah, it is, but it doesn't sound like the way that I would really want to live. But
I
don't have that pioneer
spirit. I'd be living
spirit.
About the $30,000, $40,000 level, which is, you know, having multiple things and living the way I live right now, you know.
Okay, and that they do have those options available for people. Presumably, if you can drop the money on it, you can have your own room, so to speak. On one of these,
yeah, one of these
sets,
a full room in the new Liberty vessel that we're creating right now. If you're an investor and you're paying a friend, that's $65,000 for 10 years of that room, and then you can either have that for yourself or you can rent it out to other people and then, you know, get your return on investment in 7 years.
So it's sort of a floating condo situation.
Very much. And what we're essentially doing is nothing more than providing land or place to build your libertarian society outside the jurisdiction of government. We're essentially putting land out there where there isn't land right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, in essence, it's kind of just real estate.
Yeah, that was one of the strangest things that China did when it built an artificial island for the exact purpose of making sure that more of this sea area, which, I mean, it's the only thing that we have left, is space on the sea and under the sea as far as frontiers go, because every square inch of land is claimed by at least one government.
Yep.
But, you know, realistically, that's most of the space available on the planet.
Right.
The oceans are fairly deep, and in theory, if we develop a way to live down there, it probably wouldn't be very pleasant. But if we can put a colony on the moon, we can put a colony at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean.
Exactly.
I don't see any reason why we can't. I don't know that I would want to live down there, because and that's not even about the pioneering spirits, because I'm claustrophobic. And I think that would drive me insane very, very quickly. Like my father, he wanted to go into the military, and he wanted to work on a submarine, and I just can't understand the mentality of someone who wants to be in a submarine and that narrow, confined space. But yeah, the bottom of the ocean, to say nothing of the surface of the ocean, where there's presumably plenty of sunlight and you could have some arable land on there. There's plenty of possibilities. The only thing, as you mentioned, really holding things back is the money. And and in the libertarian community around the world, there's plenty of people with the money to back up some of these
and
projects.
And also the mindset. A lot of people, when you say talk about living on the ocean, they imagine water world and some raft out there, you know, fighting the waves in the storm. What we're talking about is for those few people have actually been on those mega cruise ships, those modern ones, where you play pool, and occasionally the pool ball veers just a little bit, and you're like, why does it do that? Why didn't it go straight? Oh yeah, I'm on a ship in the middle of the ocean. Or you have the wine test where you have a glass of wine on the table and it doesn't spill, it doesn't even shake, because that's how stable the ship is. You forget that you're on the water. They have swimming lessons for people on these cruise ships because swimming is optional.
Yeah, if I was going to get on a cruise ship, I would want to make sure I could swim.
I would too, but that's the whole point. Is you're so disconnected from the nature that it's you're already, they've already tamed that frontier. They just haven't we just haven't opened our minds and seen the potential that frontier has for us.
I've seen some of the images that people have of these ships. I don't know if that would be the correct term for them or not, but yeah, the engineering that goes into them is phenomenal. It's not at all what you would expect from some of these things, like the hexagonal ones that I was talking about. They extend down into the sea. It's basically dropping an anchor for several dozens of feet, and it's solid steel, and it keeps the ship steady.
Spar, yeah, those are really cool.
Yeah, and these things, they work. The technology's there. You could test this at home using a bowling pin and something else to stab it down into the water.
Yep.
This technology's there. It's feasible. It's practical. The only thing we need, really, as you mentioned, is money and for people to have the right mindset. Because it's a big world. But there are countless possibilities out there. Like Ernie likes the spaceship idea. I think that's probably the most likely to actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or which by that I mean, I think it's... Any of these could happen, but I think the spaceship one, the future libertarian society...
It's most likely to get far enough away from the government so the government doesn't come after you and take away your freedom once you're out there.
Well, I think it's almost a certainty that something like that is going to happen at some point, that we're going to have some libertarian space colony. But libertarian seastead, that doesn't feel like it's a more natural progression.
Right. It's not far enough away.
But it's possible, right? And I love these sorts of projects. So where can people go if they want to learn more about this? And how close are you to having one of these out there with people like on it, living there?
You can go to freedomhaven.org, freedomhaven.org. And we're taking this in four phases. The first phase was actually come up with the plan, all the details and so forth. The second phase right now is the exploratory campaign, where we're actually going out there to see, is this even economically viable? We know that if we had enough money, we could build it tomorrow. Is there enough interest? Is there enough people out there that actually would want this to happen? And that's where we're right now. That's where we're in phase two, and it's marketing phase. And then phase three, you actually get the designers, Samsung Heavy Industries, the actual people from the shipyards to actually do the professional designs down to each rivet. And then phase four is the actual building the ship, and then we start the whole process. 2037 is when all four of those process phases will be complete. Each phase is about 4 years. Okay. We're in the middle of phase two right now.
So this is a sort of subscription service where someone would have to pay like yearly or by the decade or whatever in order to maintain their space on here, which would necessitate in many ways some ability to earn money. And this is one of the criticisms I have with Mark. Mark thinks, well, you can just work online, right? And that's true for some people, but... It's not necessarily true for everyone. Some people's jobs just don't do that. But but being able to do that, if someone could do that, they have a job that supports that, it's going to require pretty solid internet access. And I don't want to focus too much on the internet addiction that people have, but it is important for a person to sustain themselves to have connectivity to the rest of the world. Or is this project only for people who are already wealthy and can subsist?
No. If you're already wealthy, you already have the MS World that Ian mentioned last time, which is one that $10 million per cabin. You have other wealthy cruise ship options. You can live in a cruise ship right now today, although you don't have freedom. You still can live out in the sea for $80,000 a year per person and up. But that's still too expensive for me. We're trying to keep this as cheap as possible.
Okay, very cool. So that's freedomhaven.org, you said?
Yep, freedomhaven.org.
Freedomhaven.org to learn more about this. Thank you so much for joining us here today, Tony. There is more coming up, more people to talk to here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It is Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. Who listens to radio at night? EMTs? Truck drivers? Law enforcement? And many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.